I have heard something a long time ago. I've probably repeated it 100 times since. But I really started thinking about that this last week as I was thinking about this message. I heard the saying that the thing we have to always remember about the Christian faith is that the Christian faith is never more than one generation away from extinction. That all that has to happen is for Christian parents to forget to tell their children and lead their children to Christ, and it all disappears. And I've probably said that 100 times, but I got to thinking about that last week, and I decided I've been wrong all this time. You see, the gospel doesn't depend upon people like you and me. The gospel was brought by Jesus Christ. The gospel is going to endure until the end. There will always be a time when people are walking with Jesus. What I would say is this, but no society can survive as a Christian nation more than one generation unless we remember to pass on the faith. I'm not worried about Christianity, but I am worried about our own nation and the Christian character of our nation and what the future of our nation needs to be spiritually, which is that place where people remember that there's no more important job that any of us have, and particularly those of you who are parents of preschoolers and children yet to come, than to lead your children to Jesus. And that's why I want us to look together this morning at the passage that we saw in Mark chapter 10, where the Bible talks about these parents who brought their children to Jesus and what they experienced. Because it is so vital that we understand, I can do a lot of things for my child. I can provide for my child materially. I can provide for my child intellectually. I can provide for my child spiritually. I can provide for my child in so many ways. But if I forget to provide for my child spiritually so that they grow up to have a vital personal relationship with Jesus, then all that other stuff is just chaff in the wind apart from that relationship with Christ. So join me. Let's go together. Let's look at Mark chapter 10 and discover what the Bible says, what Jesus has to say about bringing children to Him. And the first thing Jesus says is a very simple thing. He says, don't be an obstacle. The parents who wanted their children to meet Jesus encountered an unexpected obstacle in that passage we read a while ago. It was the apostles. Of all the people in the world, the Bible says, then they brought little children to Him that He might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought Him. They came with their children. They wanted their children to meet Jesus. They knew Jesus may never pass this way again. We want our children to see this man that we've heard so much about. He's doing miracles. He's healing people. He's teaching like nobody that we've ever heard. Could this be the Messiah? Let's let our children come to Jesus. And yet when they got there, they experienced disciples who stood in the way. They did not want those children to come to Jesus. The parents understood what they needed to do. They understood, I want to get my child as close to Christ as I can possibly get him. But the disciples didn't understand, and they got in the way. In fact, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says the disciples rebuked them. Now understand something. That doesn't mean the disciples said, no, 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 I don't think that's a good idea. In fact, 2 chapters before this, in Mark chapter 8, that word rebuked is used again. You know when it's used? When Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. A strong term. It is saying the disciples basically stood in front of these parents bringing their children to the Lord, and they said, get these kids out of here. They're in the way. We don't have time for them. What's wrong with these apostles? Well, I think they had two things that they believed with all their hearts. The first thing they believed is this. Jesus was too important to be bothered with a bunch of children. Don't bring your children up here. Jesus has too many other things to do. He was teaching. He was healing. He was changing lives. Jesus was bringing the kingdom to the world around them. And these disciples understood, this is Jesus. He's an important man. He's doing important work. He has no time for a bunch of kids. And the second thing that the apostles believed was this. These children were too immature to understand about Christ. Don't bring these kids to Jesus. They can't understand what's going on. They can't grasp spiritual things. They won't understand what Jesus is teaching. Bring them back later on, years from now, when they're older. And then Jesus will have time for them. But not now. Don't bring those children to Jesus. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people today who feel the same way about the way Jesus feels and thinks about children. They believe Jesus is too complicated for kids, and so they don't see the value in raising them up to walk with him. They don't see the value in making sure their children grow up in Sunday school, making sure that they're exposed to the things that are being taught on Wednesdays and Sunday evenings. And after all, my child can't understand this, so why do it? I'll never forget, years ago we had a consultant who came to one of the churches I was serving to help us look at our preschool area more in terms of physical needs than spiritual needs. And he said, the first thing you need to do is get this piano out of here, because children don't understand music and children don't appreciate music, and there's no reason to involve children in music. And I stood there and thought, okay, I'm through listening to you. I'm through listening to you. When you begin to say children can't in spiritual things, you are so, so wrong. So many people don't see the point in bringing children to Jesus because they're just sure a child is not capable of making real spiritual decisions like salvation. When their child wants to speak to them about spiritual things, they just change the subject or push it off for another time because they're just so sure, this is not something my child is capable of doing. One of the questions I hear a great deal from parents from time to time is, when do I know my child is old enough to make a salvation decision? Is it 6? Is it 8? Is it 10? Is it 13? When do I know my child is old enough to make a decision for Christ? My answer to that is, don't ask me, ask the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit who will move and speak in their hearts and say to them, this is the time when you receive Christ. One of my children received Christ when he was 9 years old. My other child received Christ when she was 5 years old. Most embarrassing time of my life. I was out in the front of my house. I was practicing my sermon on Saturday night. We had a living room that was up away from everything, and I would just pace the floor and rehearse that thing. And Bethany came in, and she starts pulling on my coat, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And I'm thinking, if I just ignore her, she'll get discouraged and go away. And then when I'm finished doing this really important thing, then I'll find out what it was she wanted. Daddy, 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 Daddy. And I finally stopped and I said, what, Bethany, what? What is so important that you can't wait until Dad is finished? And she said, how do you invite Jesus into your heart? Suddenly what I was doing didn't seem so important. We sat down and we talked. How do I know? Let me give you a rule of thumb for you parents of younger children especially. You know that God may be working in your child's heart if they come to you and they say, how can I invite Jesus into my life? How can I become a Christian? If they come to you and maybe someone has just been baptized and they say, how, when can I be baptized? When can I have the Lord's Supper? When can I do these things that I see other people doing? Then you may need to be a little more careful about what's going on. But if they come to you and they say, listen, I'm thinking about Jesus, you take time. You talk about Jesus, okay? Don't assume children can't make spiritual decisions, because they can. And often they're more open to spiritual decisions in those early years of life than any other season. So don't be an apostle. Don't be an obstacle. Second, Jesus said, there's always time for children. Mark says, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forgive them. I love what the Life Application Bible says in the notes about this passage. It says, Jesus was always spending too much time with the wrong people, tax collectors, sinners, outcasts, and children. Don't you like that? Jesus was always showing up at those places nobody else thought he ought to be and talking to all the people that everybody thought he ought to avoid. But the truth is, Jesus knew it's time to pay attention to these children. One of the things we have to understand is that in the time of Christ, children were not cherished the way they are today. You know, we pay attention to our kids. We want to be everywhere they are. We want to support everything they do. We're always there for them. In the time of Christ, the general attitude was, let these kids grow up, and when they get to be about 12, we'll take them to the temple, and we can move them into adulthood, and then there'll be time to pay attention to them. But before then, they really don't matter very much. You know when people started cherishing children? When Jesus told them to. You know when a culture began to appreciate and love children? When the early church began to move into new places and teach a whole new focus about family than anybody had ever thought about before. Jesus wanted to see these children. Once again, the Bible uses a vivid description. The disciples rebuked the parents, rebuked them strongly, and Jesus was greatly displeased with the disciples. Now understand what this is saying. This means Jesus wasn't up there saying, now fellas, let's think about this now. Don't do this. When the Bible says he was greatly displeased, what it's saying is this. Jesus was angry. He was truly angry with his apostles. In fact, the only other time the Gospels reveal Jesus being this angry in that kind of way is when he cleared the money changers out of the temple. Those are the two events when Jesus reveals himself as truly angry. And on both occasions, he's angry about the same thing. People are interfering with other people who wanted to get to Jesus. People are interfering with other people who need to come to the Lord, who want to worship the Lord, who want to find and encounter the Lord. And they were standing in the way, and that made him angry, and it still makes him angry today. He doesn't want anyone to stand in the way of anybody coming to Jesus. He still invites whosoever to be saved. He still says, there's not a soul on this earth I don't love, I don't cherish, I don't want to redeem. Never get in their way when God is calling them to faith. The Bible says Jesus was greatly displeased. Here's what I know. I know that the disciples backed up in a hurry and let the children through. I have a feeling that not one of them wanted to look the Lord in the eye because they understood how badly they had failed. But Jesus wasn't finished with them yet. Jesus said this, you have to be like a little child to get into the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. Not only was he saying, don't keep these children away from me, he was saying, if you had any sense, you would come to me just the way they're coming. You have to come like a child. What does that mean? Well, let me suggest a few things real quickly. First, that means you have to come openly. Children cannot pretend to be something they are not. You know, we're really good at it. We can put on a different mask for every group we're around. We can put on a kid mask for one place, an adult mask for another. We can make ourselves look sophisticated in one place and childlike like another. We learn over the years, how do you wear a mask? You know, you walk in the door at church and you think, okay, what am I supposed to look like? And you do that. You walk into the grocery store and you learn immediately, okay, what do I have to look at? One of the things I've learned since I've been in Birmingham, one of the things I have learned is the mask you wear when you go to Costco, because those people are crazy. and you put on that mask and you don't look anybody in the eye and you just stick your buggy out there and you don't care what anybody else is doing, because that's how you act there. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that's what I've learned. I may be in legal trouble too. Children don't know how to put on masks. They are absolutely who they are. I don't care where I am. I don't care what I'm doing. I am going to be myself. One of my favorite things last couple of weeks was a little boy that got his nose bumped by the vice president. Did you see that? And he tugged him on the sleeve and he says, "You owe me an apology to the vice president of the United States." Why? He's a kid. You come openly. Number two, you come transparently. Kids don't know how to hide anything. One of the dumbest things any parent can do is to say to their child, "Look at this wonderful present that I bought for your mother's birthday next week. Now, keep a secret. Don't say anything about it." What's going to happen? Mom will know within the next 20 minutes. Why? Because children can't hide anything. They are absolutely transparent. And then you have to come needy. There's one thing a child understands. It is, I have to be provided for. I can't take care of myself. I can't provide for myself. If I'm going to have something to eat, it's going to come from somebody else. If I'm going to wear good clothes, they're going to have to come from somebody else. I don't have these things, and I can't get them. I have to receive them. You come openly, you come transparently, you come needy, and that's exactly how you come to the kingdom. That's exactly how you come to Jesus. And Christ said to these apostles who thought now they had so much authority and so much wisdom, and he said, you better begin to become more like them. Don't worry about them becoming like you. And then the Bible says, Jesus welcomed the children. He took him up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Do you see the irony of what's going on here? The disciples are stinging from Jesus' rebuke. They're staying out of his way. They're keeping their distance. They understand he is angry, and I don't want to be close to him right now. But how did the children respond? They ran directly to him with no fear, because they knew Jesus is waiting for me and there's a welcome there. And the Bible says he held them and he reached out to them and he blessed them. He spoke a word into their lives that they would always remember about the love of God for children like themselves. In a few weeks, I'm going to be preaching a message about passing on a blessing. So you'll just have to wait for that. When I read that description, the picture I get is of a Lord who not only had time for children, he had all the time in the world. He didn't just pat them on the head and send them on his way. He sat down and he spent time with them. And he spoke a blessing into each life. Jesus wanted to touch and bless them all. He still does today. He wants to bless every life. He wants to save any who will believe. There's room for everybody in the love of Christ. There's one last point I want to share real quickly that we need to remember, and it is simply this. The reason that Jesus was able to touch and bless each of these children is because their parents brought them to him. The only reason those children were there was because they had parents who loved them and wanted them to meet the Savior. And they brought them to Jesus. And if I had to say one thing to parents this morning, whether your children are barely newborn or 5 years old or 10 years old or 40 years old, it is your responsibility and your privilege to bring your children to Jesus. Just a few moments ago, Miss Cynthia was sharing about the need for folks to help out in all these different dimensions of children's ministry. What we don't need is volunteers. What we need are people who want to bless children, who want to be used by Christ to bring people to Him. Without their parents, these children would never have met the Savior. And that's the challenge today. You know, I am grateful. I was thinking about our church as I was working on this message, about all of the families and all of the parents who take that so seriously. And I look around this room and I see so many of you, and I just know it's true. You have a desire for your kids to know and follow Christ. Never lose that passion. Never set aside that priority. Make that your greatest measure of personal success. I don't know what else I did, but I know this. I brought my children to Jesus, and now they're His. Many years ago, when I was a youth minister, I remember standing at the front of the church after a service. The fourth of four sons had just made a profession of faith, the very youngest one. And he had come forward in church that Sunday. He had declared his faith in Jesus. He was ready to be baptized. And I was standing there, and his mother walked over to me, and she said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" She said, "Now they're all safe." I didn't understand that then, but I understood it later. And we understand it today. That's the greatest challenge that we face. They brought the children to Jesus. Jesus pushed everything else aside, and He blessed them. And He still will today. In our church, we bring our children to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're here as a Christian, as a parent, and you don't know Christ, and you don't know how to raise your children to know Christ because you still got to meet Him yourself. Maybe today is the day you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here today as a child of Christian parents, and they have raised you to know what it means to take a stand for Him. And maybe today is the day when you need to come and stand before these people and say, "I am ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to live for Him and follow Him for the rest of my life." Maybe you're looking for a church where you can plant your family, and this is the place where they're going to grow spiritually and they're going to know the Savior. Maybe there's another decision. Just a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn. I'm going to be here at the front. Rich is going to be here at the front. We're going to be ready to meet you, to introduce you to Christ, to welcome you to the church, to help you with your decision. Do you need to come? Let's stand today. Let's sing our hymn.